In Jesus' name, I will read from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus, chapter 14, from verse 10 onwards. And the words are heard in Jesus' name. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, there remains not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen. Again, we are on this very famous trip, wilderness trip. Israelites had left from Egypt, and with them came also, as the Bible calls them, mixed multitudes. They were the ones that caused trouble during the trip. They were the ones who were quick to speak against Moses and Aaron. But we also heard through our dear brother how there were others who were not a mixed group. They were Levites and Reubenites. They were Israelites who also spoke against Moses and Aaron. But that mixed group, they were not Israelites. They left with them. Maybe they were prisoners of war who were enslaved like the others, like the Israelites. And they saw their chance to leave the house of bondage, the country, the bad place where they were troubled day and night. They had to work hard. They had to toil over their limits, and they wanted to leave with them. And the Bible gives a testimony of the atmosphere and the feelings when the people stepped over the boundaries of Egypt. They rejoiced as people in their young age. They were pleased to leave from the house of bondage, which Bible uses as a picture of the powers of sin. So when they left from Egypt, they left from the power, the difficult enslaving powers. And they have been traveling for a few days. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart again. And after 10 plagues, I can't remember, was it plague number 6 or 7, when the Pharaoh's advisors told him that how long shall this man be a snare for us, this Moses? That don't you see that the country is destroyed already? The last plague, or the first plagues caused inconvenience, and the following plagues started hurting the country, the livelihood, until God brought this huge superpower onto their knees, stripped them from their riches. It is so interesting that the blessing came with Joseph 400 years before. The famine was approaching, and God revealed that to Joseph, and he saved the country, spared the country, and gave much power to Pharaoh. The Pharaoh, at the last couple of years of the famine, maybe 3 years of the famine, became basically the owner of the whole country. But the new pharaohs came, and they forgot what blessing came with this Hebrew man who believed God. And now they were being enslaved. And they left. With high hand, God brought them out when the country was on its knees. And the last blow that our text speaks, in a way, I would say that that might have been the biggest blow to the country. God destroyed the whole army of the superpower. If you put it in perspective, if in one battle, the army of America, the whole army would be destroyed. It was a huge blow to this country. But it carries a much deeper picture than only this kind of a temporal loss of the army. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And with a hardened heart, he started fighting God's people. He went after the Israelites. He should have known better. God had taught him so many lessons already. Do not battle against God's people. They're under my protection. God's people cannot protect themselves. Have you seen sheep battle? They're so weak. They're so poor on their own. They're so timid. They cannot protect themselves. They must have another protector, and that is God. God protects his own. And now the Pharaoh took his army. He took his, in verse 9 before our text it said, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army. All is a big word. It's a short word, three letters, but it means a lot. The whole army went after that nation. Why? God allowed it to happen that way. I don't think they wouldn't have needed to go with such might. Those horses, those chariots that the Bible talks about, they are not a small thing. They were like tanks at this time. And the Israelites didn't have any weapons. They were a nation. Like we are here. From little boys and girls to aged men and women. How could they protect themselves? How could they battle? But he took the whole army. Because God wanted to destroy the whole army. God drowned them like he drowns our sins. When a person receives the grace of repentance, God drowns those powers who enslaved the person and all the sins in one few message of forgiveness of sins. Everything is gone. That's how God drowns. And now our text tells how the Pharaoh approached with his army. And the Israelites were sore afraid and they cried out unto the Lord. We kind of hear two messages here. It's the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They begged for God's help. Then there was another message. They said, "This." It's so interesting how Bible is so vague. But we have the testimony of Bible that same spring does not bring forth sour water and fresh water. They do not come from the same well, same spring. From the same mouth does not come blessing and cursing. They come from different mouths. And now, the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. The believers begged for God's help. But then there were others who said unto Moses, that weren't there enough graves in Egypt? Why did you bring us here? Why did you bring us here? Did Moses bring them there? Hadn't they seen the 10 plagues, what God did? Didn't they understand that no man could do that? How could one man bring over 600,000 men, women, in addition to 600,000 men, all the women, all the children, and the cattle, a lot of cattle. It reminds me of one incident in Finland. In summer services, you know, tens of thousands of people, and there was a press conference, and one of those media people said, that how do you keep these people so quiet? That you must put an awful lot of fear into their hearts. How do you do it? How do you keep them I don't even know the word, how to describe it, like enslaved. And one of the brothers smiled and said that, there they are. Go and try to do that. How do you keep tens of thousands of people in the order? How can man do it? Who can do it? It's God's doing. But the press people didn't see it. They couldn't understand it. Now, these who spoke against Moses said, why did you bring us here? It doesn't come from faith. It comes from the flesh. Why did you do it? We hear, right here, the basically the same sermon as we heard to our dear brother, which came out from the mouth of Korah and his followers. That you have, this is your doing. Well, who do you think you are? What are you to lead? And you think that you are something better than the rest? You have just started that. It's God's doing. No one can do it. And then they said again, why have you dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Did Moses push him out? Did Moses threaten them with the firearms that now you have to walk? They volunteered. They came with them. They were seeking for their opportunity. But now, when things seemed difficult, they immediately turned against Moses. They didn't see anything else. They did not believe in God. They were following man, not God. And even they say, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. So you see how the reality had changed in their minds, that we didn't want to come. So why did they leave if they didn't want to? They wanted to, but they had forgotten that. In a few short days, the reality had changed for them. And Moses said unto the people, who did Moses say? The Bible does not specify that, but he said, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. This world says, seeing is believing. They say, I don't believe until I see. Or they say, I wouldn't have believed if I didn't see it with my own eyes. This world says, seeing is believing. We say, believing is seeing. It's totally opposite. Without eyes of faith, it is impossible to see. Without faith, the eyes are not open. And those eyes which are closed or blinded, they don't see. Jesus said to his disciples, blessed are your eyes, for they see. And blessed are your ears, that they hear. Do you see? Do you hear? When God speaks in his congregation. Do you see Christ here? Or do you only see people? Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. And what did, how did God show it to them? For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Dear brother and sister, your sins, which are many, have been forgiven. And the last day, when the books are opened, those books are opened for those people who didn't believe. Those whose names were not found written in the Book of Lamb were judged by those that were written in their books. We are as sinful, as poor as any other people. But unforgiven sins will not come before us at the day of judgment. The books that contain our forgiven sins will not be even opened. I didn't understand it, or I wondered why did the old believers used to say that there's a bloody cross on the cover of the book. You know, like this book. There is a sign that sins are forgiven. It won't be opened at all. When the first page, it says that sins are forgiven. That person's sins are forgiven. It won't be opened even. We don't need to worry about our many evil sins which were forgiven. That's why it is so precious that there is forgiveness, real forgiveness in God's kingdom, where God forgives our sins. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Be in peace. God will fight for you. This is God's kingdom, after all. Although we here live and struggle and serve and believe. But this is God's kingdom. He fights for us. God asked Moses, why do you cry unto me? I remember the old preachers used to say that Moses sighed. And it was like a cry before God. And then God said, lift up thy rod. He had a rod in his hand. And that rod was the one with which God caused his miracles. And now what happened, it tells here, God said, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. God can do that. God can harden the heart. That's scary. If God hardens the heart becomes hard. Who can fight against God? And he said, they shall follow them. Egyptians shall follow them. God will get honor upon Pharaoh and all his host, all the chariots, and upon his horsemen. You know, the army that was approaching the Israelites was invincible. They had zero possibilities to fight against it. They didn't have means. They didn't have strength. They didn't have weapons. They had nothing. It was, in human terms, there was no way anything for anything else than the Pharaoh will take them captive and bring them back to Egypt. And the promised land was a distant dream again. That was the reality. That was what people saw. That's how it seemed to everybody. We have no hope at all. And that's what it would be for us if we didn't have God. And now the angel of God, which had gone before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. So the Israelites were traveling. Egyptians were following them. The angel removed itself from the front and went to the back. The angel of God came as a border or wall between them. And it says even here, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. Okay. Who are them? Who are these? If you had to guess, there was a camp of Egyptians and the camp of Israelites. And God was in between them. And light shone to one direction, and the other direction was darkness. How would you guess? The Israelites had lights on during the night. When the Egyptians looked to the cloud, it was a cloud and darkness to them. They didn't see anything. When the Israelites looked, from their perspective, they saw the light. And that's where they were for the night. The evening came. God stood between them. That was one of those many stories in the Bible where there's last night. The Bible has many stories of last night experiences. One was Lot in Sodom, the last night before God destroyed it. The other was last night in Egypt before they left from there. So maybe there is a little bit of a picture what can be expected of the last times before the departure for mankind comes to either heaven or hell, at the last times of this world. They stayed there for this one night, and for sure it was a night that hardly anyone were able to sleep. And there were two groups of people, Israelites and Egyptians. And the Egyptians were rough men, soldiers, army, huge, powerful army. And what was between them? A cloud. What's cloud? Cloud is air, water in the air, vapor. What does that protect? Nothing. Any moment you could think that the wind blows this fog away. But it was God's protection. God protected them. It says here, so that one came not near the other all the night. That's where they stood. Israelites had light. Egyptians had darkness again. They had again to be in darkness. They had some experience of that, of this 3 days darkness in Egypt. But there they were. And I don't know, but I thought that they could hear one another. Fog does not protect the sound. The sound went through. They heard the horses. They heard the cling and clang of the army there, right behind this cloud, which had surprisingly approached between them. There they were. And the believers prayed. And I don't know what this mixed multitude did, who had spoken a moment before against Moses. But we see how this seed of Korah was already there, speaking against Moses. Immediately when the situation came, they started speaking against Moses and Aaron, like Moses and Aaron would have been God. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And we know for sure that the Israelites waited for the morning to come. And when the first rays of the sun started coming, they moved. They went. And it was dry land. Again, impossible to go cross the sea. How do you cross the sea? They walked. It was dry land. And the waters were like walls on both sides. And I can't help thinking what happened. The Israelites were like we are. Boys and girls, what do you think? If you would walk in the valley where waters are like walls on both sides, would you feel tempted to go and poke a little bit to the sides, and mother says, hey, go. Now, don't play with the water. You would feel that this is strange. I guess. If I was a little boy, I would try it. At least a little bit when rushing by. And they went. God made impossible become possible. They walked on the dry land through the sea. And Egyptians, sure, they tried. It is in Hebrews, where the writer of the Hebrews talks about this incident. Hebrews 11, this by faith chapter, verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. They tested, they tried, and they were drowned. God is not to be played with. God is not to be spoken against. The Bible speaks of and gives an interesting picture of a person speaking against God. Well, why speaking against God? When these people spoke against Moses, they spoke against God, because God had put them into that work. They spoke against God. And the Bible speaks... You remember when Jeremiah went to the potter's shop or place where he did pottery? Isaiah also speaks of that. How God is like a potter. He works with clay. And we are being pictured or compared to clay vessels. And I have sometimes thought that there are shelves in the potter's shop, or whatever the right word is for that, his workplace, and there are hundreds of clay vessels there, drying. And one of the clay vessels would start talking there and accusing the potter, why did you do me like this? How long would you think the potter would listen to that clay vessel there, and he would take it away and put it to the waste? We are not to talk against God. God does not accept that. But these Egyptians did. They, when the Israelites went through this path that was open to them, a huge nation, we know, we understand that those who could went first and fast, and who could not limped along, and the distance stretched longer and longer, and we know how the weak ones felt. How did the mother, who was expecting a baby on the 9th month, having an infant in their hands, and the aged person who had difficulty in walking, how did they feel when they tried to pass this, it was scary in itself, knowing that the waters are on both sides. That if it'll come back, we're going to drown. And they went, but it says that the angel was between them. The God's angel was the last one. So in fact, the weakest one, the poorest one, was closest to the angel, in best protection. And so, no one was left behind. Have you ever feared that what's going to happen to me? That I grow weaker and weaker. When I was younger, I was more fervent in my faith. And I was, my neck was not as stiff as it is now. It was easier for me. I was quicker to ask for the gospel. But I'm, like the old believers used to say, we grow like the cow's tail, downwards. We become weaker, and we see our sinfulness clearer and clearer. And then we start fearing. And the enemy says, yep, that's what's going to happen to you. And the start was not very good, but it was way better than where you are now. And then we start thinking in our own mind that what happens to me when I grow weaker and weaker? That when the death approaches, and I would need the faith most, I'm on my weakest. What's going to happen to me? And the enemy says, I know what's going to happen. You'll never make it to heaven. You're so poor. You're so weak and getting weaker all the time. And so then we may find ourselves in such a foolish thing that we start teaching Father, our own Father, that take me away, please. When I have a little bit faith left, could you please take me away now? We should not teach God. When Jesus approached John in Revelations, he said, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the first and I am the last. I am the author and I am the finisher of your faith. Salvation has not been left into our sinful hands. It's not in our doing. Our first step in this life of faith was not with our strength. God will take care of us till the end. He will show His might. God's majesty cannot allow that He has taken care of you all your life long, and then at the end He will slip and forget you. It doesn't sound like God, doesn't it? God takes care of us. It's His doing. His promise to. And He will. And now when the last Israelite had crossed the sea, what happened? And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And that's what Moses did. The enemy was drowned. There's a hymn in the Finnish Song of Zion book where it says so beautifully how God makes miracles, causes miracles to happen with the staff, that he drowned all our sins. We have heard lots. God has wanted us to hear lots of speech of water. We have heard of living water. Even the logo speaks of that. And again, we are next to the water. This water saved the Israelites and drowned the Egyptians. The same water. It was like the Word of God speaks of the gospel message. It is a smell of life to those who believe, and it is a smell of death to those who don't believe. The same thing. It's so interesting how many times we see the extremes, like this cloud. From the outside, it was just darkness. They couldn't see anything. It was just a cloud. How do you describe a cloud? If it's a thick cloud, there's not even a color. It's just one thick cloud. And the Israelites had light. The total opposite. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host. And there remained not so much as one of them. Dear brother and sister, not even one enemy will be spared by God. All of your sins will be drowned into the sea of grace, and all the power of the enemy will be drowned there. No matter how weak we are, as we are, God will take care of us. And the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. That's even interesting. That the Israelites were even able to see them there. There they are, dead. All those who tormented me and wanted to enslave me, they're dead now there. But they also, our text ends, and the Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. They saw it was God's work. It was not Moses' work. It was God's work. Moses, yes, did some things which God commanded to him. If you would go to the Red Sea and with a stick in your hand and would stretch your hand over there, would you think that the Red Sea would part now? Well, people would look at you and laugh behind your back, and there's a new Moses trying his luck. It wouldn't work. It was not Moses' work. It was God who did it. And then it says, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. But it's not the end of that. The last words are, and his servant Moses. People believed. They feared God. They believed God. And as a result of that, believe, faith, and fear, they also believed Moses. That's what God's Spirit does. It causes us to trust. God's Spirit does not create mistrust, but it creates trust. Even, I have thought sometimes, even it creates trust even to some kind of a naivety. You remember when Jesus said on the last evening to the disciples, I'll tell whether one of you shall betray me this night. And the disciples heard it and they believed it. And they started looking around. It was not so that the 11 fingers pointed towards Judas. Oh, ho! Okay, now it came. That's what we have been wondering about you. No. They said, Lord, is it I? Why did they ask that way? They looked around and they saw I'm the weakest one. It must be me. I have not had that kind of a plan. I don't want to do it, but it must be me because I'm the weakest one. Even Judas Iscariot asked. And Jesus said, thou sayest. You said it. And then Jesus even more did. He gave a piece of bread to Judas and said, to whom I give it? Well, it is him. And the disciples even then did not understand. They could not believe. They did not see it. When Jesus said to Judas, it says in the Bible that when Judas received that, the Satan entered into his heart. And he left. He rose up. And Jesus said, what thou doest, do it faster. And the disciples were marveling. They were wondering that, where did Judas go? Even then they did not understand. They were so naive that they couldn't see it. The truth was before their eyes and they couldn't see it. Judas left. And the next time they saw Judas, he came with the group to take Jesus. That's how little they saw. Like Jesus said, O ye fools and slow of heart. That's what we are. But if that's enough to God, it should be enough to the enemy of the souls as well. Dear brothers and sisters, may God help us to put our trust in God, that when the trials and difficulties approach, when the army of Egypt is approaching us, trying to catch us, that we cry for help from God, and we can see how God saves us every time. We go from strength to strength, as we heard to our dear brother. I will read the words of Moses for us as a final reminder. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Dear brother and sister, uplift your fearful heart to believe all sins and doubts forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood. Sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood. Sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood. Believe all sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood. Believe all sins forgiven. And be a good cheer. In Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer. Do not fear. In Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. We have a God who created this world. Sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. To the little boys and girls, from the smallest to the oldest, we have good God, we have forgiving God, we have a powerful God who can everything. For us, it is impossible. For God, it's very simple, easy, and possible. Can I also believe my sins forgiven? I want to believe together like you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us join. Yeah.
in our hearts together to say the Lord's Prayer. The Lord bless you. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.